Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, and welcome to Grand Rising with Shabaka. Please call in here at area code 516-418-5996. Okay, today's subject, ladies and gentlemen, is that we're dealing with Martin Luther King and Malcolm X. They both were 39. Also, too, we're crumb bumming on the panties down in Florida and the dump as well, too. Both of them are garbage, in my opinion. And we're joined by the anchorman, the one and only Rommel and Spinner. Of course, our co-producer, the one and only Jesse Paris. Good morning, gentlemen. How you doing? What's happening?
What's going on, gentlemen? How are we living? How are we living?
All right, all right. You know what they say, anytime you wake up above dirt, you're winning for the day, you know. Okay, and it's just very, very interesting of how these current turns of events of business that happened there in Tennessee, what's happening with Trump, I don't expect him to get convicted. And then the panties, you know what I'm saying, down in Florida with his nonsense. And then it just came to my attention, you know, that they having a major storm down there, you know. And so that's the power of the ancestors right there. Man, what it is that when we look at Malcolm X and Martin Luther King, both these men were 39 years old, you know, when they were killed. And I'm just wondering what their opinions would be in these contemporary times, you know what I mean? You know, these confused guys calling themselves women, you know, regressing back, you know, with this critical race theory nonsense and what have you. And as we all know, critical race theory with the upper graduate course. But it's just incredible how they want us to forget, you know, all this brutalization. And then they go for this garbage that they keep telling us, oh, now your folks weren't slaves, that was so long ago. Yeah, but however, the mores, the attitude, the culture is still based on that. And this is why, like, when our people get murdered by the police, you know, we're supposed to sit up here and say, well, it's okay. You know, George Floyd, you know, those did so many years. Rodney King, you know, he was convicted, you know, Tyrese Nichols, you know, and things of this nature right here. And then this society systemically sits up here and says, well, you know, you guys need to get over it, that there was so long ago. Well, the thing is about it is that when they put in place certain traditions that carried over generation after generation after generation, and they dummy down our youth within the last 30 years, you know, in the scholastic situation, historical aspect, and what have you. Then you have those on our side of the fence, well, no need to worry about it, quote-unquote, we're all American. Quote-unquote, we're all American. But yet, though, you want us to sit up here and sympathize with other groups when they went through their trials and tribulations, but yet you want us to ignore our own. And
not only sympathize with them, Shabaka, not only did they sympathize with them, they compensated them for their pain and suffering.
Yeah.
We're the only people
in
this country that have not been compensated for the horror we have undergone.
Yeah, I know. You're absolutely correct. You see what
it's
I'm
a crime.
Saying? Of course,
it's a crime against us.
Yeah, it is. Exactly. And really, it's a crime against humanity. And the part that really makes it so very, very sad is how our youth, you see, have no knowledge of their true path. You see what I'm saying? And so then they go in here and embrace these other values, you see what I'm saying, of degradation.
Well,
and they think that there's progress. Yes, sir.
They are basically, any history that involves black people is deemed CRT. It has nothing to do with CRT.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
That's what they're doing. They're deeming it all CRT, and it has to be removed. And what they were teaching when I was in school, they're no longer teaching that. Like, these kids completely are clueless, and everything is a Google search away.
Yeah.
But they don't even know what to Google at this point because they're taking all
the
school books.
Yeah, see, and that's the sad part about it.
So it's on the parents in the village to educate the kids because the schools down there ain't doing it. They're just indoctrinating them to continue to believe this bullshit about America with a triple K. And they don't learn the truth.
Yeah, exactly.
Much older.
Yeah.
And like in my case, I was lucky enough I had elders back then that told me to learn my real history, to investigate my real history. And I used to go, what? Are you just talking about slavery?
Sir.
And I was like, before that, we had history. And I was like, what? And I went and studied it. Yeah. I'm like, oh, yeah, we did. I mean, I did a whole program in high school where I studied world history. Mm-hmm. I studied history of the whole world, not just America, not just Africa, but the whole world. And it was a magnet program called International Studies. I don't even know if it's still around because there's been so many changes in the public indoctrination system here in Denver. I don't even know if they're still teaching them courses. And if they are teaching those courses, they're keeping black students from participating.
Exactly. You see, and then on top of it as well, too, is that when you mention such things, you know, they want to say that we're racist and, you know, and we're in no position to implement any type of racism because, see, we don't own no factory.
They call it
gaslighting. Of course it is.
Telling us it's rain and shitting on us and telling us it's snow.
That's exactly what they're doing. You know what I'm saying? And then
we can't fall for it no more, black families. It's not our obligation to educate these fools on what their ancestors did and what their descendants continue to do.
We got all the education.
Right.
Yes.
And they know what the hell they did. They just don't want to come to, they just don't want to atone for what their ancestors did.
Right.
They need to do.
Exactly.
That's why they keep telling us
to
get
over.
Yeah,
that's exactly.
And that was so long ago. No, it wasn't so long ago because I can trace my lineage back to the shit. So it wasn't that damn long ago. It's a few generations removed at best. So it wasn't that goddamn long ago.
Yes, sir.
Oh, it was so long ago, and y'all just need to get over it, and y'all just need to pull yourself up by the bootstraps. And that's why Malcolm and Martin were so threatening to the power structure because they were telling it like it was. And when Martin woke up, it was really a done dot.
Exactly.
When he said that Malcolm was right, and he was going to come to Washington to get the damn check. That's the Martin Luther King we need to invoke if we're going to invoke Martin Luther King.
Oh, yes, sir.
What they want to teach our youth and what they don't want to teach our youth. And it's up to us, black families, to teach our youth the whole story, our story.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I'm not going to tell them. They just package bullshit.
Exactly. Yeah, and then just like we're in Temecula, California, you know, where I came across some material recently about that the school board there, you know, is eliminating all the black history out of the coursework there, just like what DeSantis is doing down there in Florida, you see. And it got very, very heated. Okay, so with this subject matter still being very, very heated, goes to show you that you still have the same friggin' problems. You see what I'm saying? 50, 60 years ago. Okay, as long as we're sitting out there, you know, calling our women a bunch of B-words, calling each other the NGR term, going around with our pants sagging, you know what I'm saying, with all the bling bling and what have you. Yeah, you see, then we're okay. Then the cold part about it is, which is really an insult that we've stated before, is that this alphabetized agenda is trying to compare itself to the civil rights movement. Now, you see, now that's a problem. Why that is, they're going to do that, then what they need to do is Brother Paris, you know, emphasize it so much where he's dropped a great deal of knowledge on, as Tariq Nasheed has did. Is about the bunk breaking syndrome they see on the plantation system.
Yeah, they had camps where they made homosexuals out of the slaves.
Yeah, exactly, particularly the males, you see what I mean? And then to mention the fact, and Malcolm has commented on it, is that Dr. King has touched on this a little bit too, about they did have these selective farms for this. You see what I'm saying? Down in the Caribbean as well, too. And then, of course, as we know, is the whipping post that they had where they would take a strong black male who didn't do what Master said and put him up there, and they would have all the rest of the slaves look at this. But another tactic that they use is that his firstborn son, if not all the sons, they'll bring him there front and center so they could see what happened to his daddy. You see what I mean? So, therefore, the protective fear in him. And then, as the Willie Lynch doctrine says, is that when you do this, you want to make sure that you have the black female who is expecting a child to witness this as well, too. So it's harder that she will witness or transfer over to her child, you know, to keep him subservient, to keep him obedient, you see. And I noticed that when we talk about these topics, we get very few callers, which is fine. That just means that we are speaking the truth. Plus, we are being shadowed. Okay, all right, we know that. And then Stinky, that's what I'm going to start calling him, Elon Musk, because when they say that you musking, you know, you're Stinky, right? Yeah, so that's his new name, Stinky. Okay, now, Stinky, you know, is putting all these rules and regulations with the Tweety Bird and all this old time stuff, saying that what we're doing here is false information, and then Zuckerberg is doing the same thing. And then this artificial intelligence is getting too much out of hand. But see, that's the next move of what they're doing.
Sex bots and shit. Now they got the thing with the sex bots and all that other crazy shit. They're trying to eliminate natural propagation. What is it called? Procreation.
Procreation. Yes.
Yeah, they're trying to get rid of that, and then bring all this weird shit in, which is abomination, and they're bringing the indoctrination instead of the true education.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yes. So you need to put together some rhymes on that there, Brother Ramel. You know what I'm saying? Definitely, man. You got that talent for it, you see. And then also, too, California in Temecula is where I saw on the photographs, because I'm doing like what Brother Paris does, is pull the information up as we're going over it, is where they had a sign, a young brother was holding up a sign saying, yeah, we need this education right here. You see what I'm saying? You know, and they just trying to wipe the sleep, or not the sleep, but the slate, you know, of their brutalization. And yet, though, they call off
and rock us to sleep. Progress. We're trying to clean this, trying to wipe the slate and keep us sleep and not awake.
Yep.
Exactly. You see what I'm saying? Exactly. And then on top of that, too, is that, as we all know, why we respect Dr. King so much, because he realized his mistake toward the end of his death. And as the Elder McChesney had enlightened us on, too, is that prior to Dr. King's assassination, he was getting ready to hook up with Mr. Muhammad. You see what I'm saying? And you know why.
They met before his assassination, and he was in total agreement with everything Elijah Muhammad was saying. And that's why they X'd him out.
Exactly. You see what I mean? Exactly. It's because, too, is that Dr. King was realizing it wasn't going away. Uh-oh, guess who we got, gentlemen? And he's got his hands up.
Oh, Lord, what's up?
I like Sarge. What you talking about? That's my
good
point.
Morning, Sarge. How you doing this morning, man? Grand ride from Las Vegas.
Well, brother, asking you shall receive, thou hast received.
Yes, sir, you did, Sarge.
Hey,
we'll respect
I appreciate you,
for
Sarge.
Yeah, man, look here. I do, too. Now, I'm coming late to the conversation because, you know, I had to take my little canine friend out. You know, he's very good about letting me know when he's got to go out. I had to take him out, and he's got back.
Yeah.
I kind of missed the thrust of the conversation, but when I did come in, I heard something that was very interesting for me that, as you put it, and I'd like to explore this a little bit further, if you don't mind, what you just said about Martin Luther King. You said he realized his mistake toward the end of his life, and he apparently altered his message. And I'd like to kind of go into exactly how you think he altered his message and what were the ramifications of that alteration.
Yes, sir. Okay. As the elder explained it to me, is that Dr. King was leaning more towards, you know, the philosophy of Malcolm X and Pan-Africanism. It's because, as you know, Sarge, now you're older than all of us, and correct me if I'm wrong, okay, is that Dr. King, you know, endorsed Muhammad Ali when he had refused induction in 1967, okay, number one. Number two is that Dr. King was opposed to the war in Vietnam, and I do know that you are a Vietnam veteran, and I know a lot of Vietnam vets, you know, before me and my family, and it was an unjust war. the heavyweight champion at that time, sacrificed his prime years against it. You had Jane Fonda, then you had the Weathermen, and then I think you had a lot of people up there in Berkeley, California, protesting it very, very heavily. And then I remember that there was a singing group called the Lennon Sisters, who are the sisters of the ring announcer, Jimmy Lennon Jr., that went to the White House with when Nixon was the president, and they had asked Nixon to stop the bombing in Vietnam. And I believe they referred to it as Operation Rolling Thunder, where they kept constantly bombing North Vietnam on a regular basis, you see. So that's what made Dr. King, you know, a great man, realize his mistake. And then you also got to look at the fact that it was a white man that killed Martin Luther King. So we got to get that out there. And of course, our condolences definitely go to Dr. King's children and his grandchildren. You know what I'm saying? We appreciate Dr. King's contribution to our history. And same thing that goes to the family of the Shabazz family. Which would be there, those of Malcolm X and what have you. We thank them all for their contribution to our history as well. But when they teach this critical race theory, like what the Pankies is doing and the Dump, you know what I'm saying, which is on your side of the world, that's a major detriment right there. And I'm even going to say that there's a major detriment to those who embrace the all-inclusive agenda, is because, you know, you're erasing, you know, some hard truth. Case in point, look what Cop Molly is. She's over there in Ghana trying to emphasize, man, and alphabetize the gender to a culture, man, that places great emphasis on the procreation of life, and that only happens between the union of man and women. And then I did a video on it here in Las Vegas, and it got shadow banned, but we're still going to keep on moving. Okay, it's because as the consciousness is getting more and more, I honestly believe that a lot of emphasis is going to be taken off of that. A lot of these black politicians, you know what I'm saying, you know, want to embrace this alphabetized agenda. Eric Adams, you know what I'm saying, Karen Bass.
They're getting paid off. Paid off, General. That's why it's alphabetized.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you're not going to get any argument from me on this whole LBQTIA plus jive, because I do believe it's deviant. Yeah. I do believe it's designed to destroy the institutions like the family for more nefarious purposes. So we're not going to have any argument there.
Yeah.
We're just about in total agreement on that. But back to the issue of Martin Luther King, I would agree with you now. That he was a great man. No, make no mistake about it, he was a great man. But like any great man, I believe he was flawed. He had flaws that were significant, and in particular his philosophical outlook. From my perspective, that his initial forays in the civil rights movement, his initial message was one that was strongly based and regularly made references to the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. But after 1965, he began to yield to the socialist imperatives that were always influential in his circles, and he became more and more an overt, outward socialist. He said about it. He wrote about it. He wrote about his the tension and what he had between the Marxism and capitalism, and what he saw as the favorable aspects of Marxism and how it could be integrated into capitalism. And those of us who would point this out with Martin Luther King would be regularly accused of just bashing him, when he, in fact, wrote about it in his books like Stride Toward Freedom and Where Do We Go From Here? I mean, I've got both of them in my library. I read them. So I would agree with you. He did change. I just don't think it was necessarily for the better.
Okay.
Can I ask you a question? Sarge?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sarge. Okay, when he initially started his whole program and his movement, Martin Luther King, he was a registered Republican. Am I right or am I wrong?
I believe he was, yes.
Yeah, he was a registered voter, and he did register.
Yeah,
yeah,
well,
and
most
I do
black
believe
people
that he
in
was
the South
a registered
were
voter
back then,
because
Democrats wouldn't let black people vote
as Republican.
Well, in many cases.
Yeah. Yes, sir. You're absolutely right. You see. And then to mention the fact, too, is that when Rosa Parks, okay, and this is what really pisses me off about the panties down there in Florida, is that when you're going to ban a book on Rosa Parks, okay, and she refused to give up her seat there in Montgomery, Alabama in 1955 that sparked the Civil Rights Movement, and then not to mention the fact that you had Andrew Young, Y.T. Walker, Ralph Abernathy, you see what I'm saying? You know, they formed the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. And these were the main ones who were the victims of the police dogs and the fire hoses. You see what I mean? And then, too, another gentleman who embraced the Marxist doctrine as well, too, Sarge, you might disagree with me, but he did. His name was Huey Percy Newton, okay? It's because in 1962,
I wouldn't disagree with you about that at all. This whole manifesto is riddled with Marxist ideas and inclinations. The whole Black Panther Party manifesto
is. Yeah, the 10 points.
I wouldn't argue that at all.
And, of course, what they want. Okay, but also, too, Sarge.
In fact, they were pretty upfront about it. I mean, you know what I mean? They didn't try to hide it.
Right, exactly. But what it is that people have explained to me why they didn't dig, you know, why they didn't dig Malcolm, why they didn't dig the former heavyweight champion, you know, at that time of the 1960s, and his name we don't have to say. We all know who the greatest was, okay, is that white America did not want black people arming themselves and defending themselves. I mean, look at the Deacon of Defense with Robert Williams. You see what I'm saying? Hey, now, you can only kick a dog so many times. Okay, and then, Sarge, like how you and I had the great debate there with Mr. Talk yesterday, and I did invite Mr. Talk to give us a call in, you know, the brother out of Texas, you know. But if you're going to have some type of racial healing, you got to discuss these horrors. Now, keep in mind is that the Jewish community was getting reparations from Nazi Germany. In Germany, just like the Japanese, you know, got their reparations. When all out here on the West Coast, they were interned at places at Manzanar and stuff like that after the bombing of Pearl Harbor. But the brutalization that we went through, man, for 300 years, man. 1619 is about the truth Bay was telling you, man, the other night, man, when we was on the other show. Sarge, you see what I mean? Is that, hey, you know, that's where it starts. Now, Sarge, you say the U.S. didn't start till July 4th, 1776. Well, Sarge, as you know, our man, Christus Attucks, you know, who was tying one over there in one night, you know, in 1770. And, you know, he was caught up in the Boston Massacre, the first one to die for independence that they referred to him as, was the black man. They say, so they don't even want to have even an acknowledgement of him. So where does the panties of Florida get off talking about, you know, that he's got to take this?
Wait a minute, now you're not saying that nobody acknowledges Christopher Attucks' death in the Boston Massacre. Now, come on, everybody talks about that these days. I mean, maybe in 1950 it wasn't emphasized very much, but today it's almost the first thing you hear when you talk about the Boston Massacre.
Okay, but according to the panties of Florida, dude, you know, who can't get his panties on, right? That's why I'm calling that governor of Florida the panties, okay? Him and the dump, okay? Well, you know, this is causing hatred, you know, black people for whites and making whites feel uncomfortable and all that. Hey, man.
Well, I've never heard him say that with regard to Christopher Attucks. Now, with other aspects of this African-American advanced placement studies criterion's curriculum, he was only noting, and he specifically referred to the elements of critical race theory. Notice the words I use, elements, because critical race theory is a legal theory taught in universities. But elements of it that have been incorporated into this curriculum, which, by the way, is the Florida law specifically says is not allowed in the Florida law. So that's what he was talking about.
Okay.
He's very specific. He's very pointed in his criticism.
Okay, but sorry. That's why of the American political process that you emphasize so much, okay, then they need to start having a recall on the good governor of Florida. And from what I understand is that Anchorman and Brother Pass are saying is that Florida is getting drenched. I hope the panties drown. You know, maybe he can put on his sanitary napkins, you know, and use it as
a
life.
You really don't believe there's any sort of a recall movement in Florida for DeSantis. He's got to be one of the most popular governors in the United States right now.
Glad you brought that up, Sergeant. That did just those show true echoes of American society in regard to black folks. Look like what we was talking about with Temecula, California. Oh, well, you know, it makes the white kids feel so bad. Well, hey, man, imagine how our children felt. You know what I'm saying? Being subjugated, you know, to segregation and brutalization. How did little Ruby Regis feel when she was going to school and her life was threatened? That little baby was only 6 years old. How do you think that the families of those black girls that were bombed in 1963 in Birmingham, Alabama, how do you think they felt?
Well, I know their lives were ended by a mad bomber.
Right, but
it's all the way from family feel when that happened. I mean, look,
okay,
lawlessness. Look, lawlessness. Even people who are racist don't want lawlessness and bombs going off in the street. It's an affront to order. So I mean, you know, we can separate people wanting to kill people wantonly. And creating all kinds of disorder, even if they're racist.
Right. Now, let me ask you a question, Sarge. Okay, hold on, Sarge. Now, let me ask you a question. Now, you said that you was a Chicago police officer, correct?
No, I worked in Chicago, Cook County. I was an Illinois State policeman.
Oh, okay, so you was an Illinois State police officer.
Yeah,
now,
so,
you know,
you got to realize the kind of corruption you refer to among police officers is not as endemic as it is in the state police for the simple reason that you don't have one political party entrenched in charge of the state of Illinois. In Chicago, Democrats have been in charge of Chicago for the last 93 years. Their corruption
is
entrenched. That's why it's so bad there.
Every presidential election that I've known, that might be previous, that they weren't blue, but have they voted blue, or was it, did that just start with Obama?
Illinois used to be used to go back and forth when the governorship Illinois from back in the 60s, Illinois would regularly go back and forth between Republican and Democrat governors. Republican governors had pretty much of an edge, but it would go back and forth between Democrats like Otto Kerner. He was a Democrat. You had Scott. He was a Republican. You had Jim Thompson was Republican. Jim Edgar was Republican. But it was relatively distributed back and forth between Democrat, Republican. So no party could entrench its particular brand of corruption for too long. In Chicago, it's one-party state, one-party city for a decade, almost a century. So the particular type of Democrat corruption has taken root like a tree with roots that go to China.
Okay, now let me ask you this here, Sarge. How many governors of Illinois have been arrested and put in prison?
Well, let's see. Let me think of it. Let's see. We had Scott. We had George Ryan. We had Blagojevich. Boy, we've had at least four within the last 30 years. Kind of a revolving door with government.
Okay, Sarge, that there, as Mayor Daley told Dr. King, is that there's certain traditions there, and after all, it was the home of Al Capone for many, many years. Now, in the Chicago public school system, we all are aware of Dr. Martha Collins. I don't know if she was a PhD, but I think the sister had
she was a distinguished woman, and I always did admire her.
Yes, sir. Okay, and then the cool part about it is that her children or her students had placed very high on these state exams, and this is why this gives more fuel for us to get our children out of these public indoctrination centers.
Yes, she did it with very little resources. Little Red School.
Yeah, I know.
He had very few resources. Exactly. She didn't spend a lot of money per pupil. She had she taught via traditional teaching methods like the Socratic method and the Aristotelian question and answer method. Everything was traditional learning, and over 95% of her students went on to go to college, and most of them graduated from college.
Okay, good.
She didn't cherry-pick her students either.
Okay, okay. Now,
she didn't cherry-pick
the students
either.
Man a little bit. Now, getting back to the X-Men a little bit, too, Sarge. Now, as you know, Malcolm, you know, had spent a lot of time in Chicago because the organization that he was affiliated with, you know, was headquartered and still is headquartered there. And they had their own colleges and universities as well, too, and we've had many of their students and come on our program, very, very educated, you know what I'm saying? And you know that there yourself, Brother Paris and General Rommel, yes, they... So what it is, Sarge, is that what we're getting at is that we got to emphasize the homeschooling for our youth, number one. Second of all, we got to emphasize, you know, traditional values of family in our community, and that they only happens between a union of man and woman, not two dudes screwing each other in ass, okay? And, you know, we're not against them or whatever, that's their lifestyle, just don't come to us with. You see, because what they're trying to do is shatter the black family unit. I mean, look at Jonathan Majors. And Mr. Majors, you welcome to call in, too, because I just want to know, Mr. Majors, why you sitting up there on the cover of Ebony Magazine, man, you know, wearing a feminized attire. And with you wearing that attire, Mr. Majors, made me don't want to go see Creed 3. You see what I'm saying? It makes me don't want to go see it.
I know what you mean. Look, but we got to understand that the a deviant lobby is so powerful and pervasive in these many of these cultural institutions now. It doesn't have anything to do with whether or not they, in fact, are actually there. For these Marxists, it's another method of wielding power. It's about wielding power and influence. And remember, if you can get people to accept the notion that a man can transform himself to women simply by willing himself so, then you can get people to believe anything. Think about that for a minute.
Hold on.
You can believe anything, you can believe that. All of this stuff is so insidious, it's impossible to overstate it.
Okay, now, Sarge, you got a good point on it right there. It's for the simple fact is that I'm quite sure Malcolm and Dr. King, you know what I'm saying, would go against that vehemently. You see what I'm saying? Vehemently.
Well, you know, I'm kind of agnostic on that. Let me tell you why. Because, first of all, Martin Luther King, even though his inner circle was heavily composed of Marxists and socialists, Bayard Rustin, Hunter Pitts O'Dell, Jack O'Donnell, all these guys were either members of the Communist Party or they were socialists, okay? But he couldn't accept communism because he was a man of God, so he couldn't do it. He even wrote in Stride Toward Freedom an eloquent, ringing rejection of communism because of its atheism. Now, having said that, I believe that if Martin Luther King were alive today, which is certainly possible for him to be, he'd be very advanced in ages. He could still be alive today if he had not been assassinated. I think he would have yielded to many of the imperatives of the leftist movement. Even despite the fact he probably would have retained his religiosity, I think if you look at it, the trajectory of his life and his belief system toward the end of his life, you will see him gradually accepting things like a guaranteed minimum wage, a guaranteed standard of living, all of the socialism you would see in Scandinavian countries, he was readily to go on board with it, and he said so. He switched the trajectory of the civil rights movement as far as his organizations were concerned, from things that were concerned with constitutional and legal rights to a brand of guaranteed socialism. So I don't know what he would have been like had he been around today. I'm not sure. Other than the fact that I think he would have rejected the atheist notions of communism. Because this is what he wrote. He wrote this in Stride Toward Freedom. In short, I read Marx as I read all of the influential historical thinkers from a dialectical point of view, combining a partial yea and a partial no. My readings of Marx convince me that truth is found neither in Marxism nor in traditional capitalism. Each represents a partial truth. Historically, capitalism failed to see truth in collective enterprise, and Marxism failed to see the truth in individual enterprise. The kingdom of God is neither the thesis of individual enterprise nor the antithesis of collective enterprise, but a synthesis which reconciles the truths of both. That you are listening to a man who has accepted the dialectic, which is one of the first steps toward accepting Marxism.
Okay. Right. And then, of course, as you know, Dr. Huey P. Newton, you know, he embraced Marxism is because a lot of the tenets of the Black Panther Party, you know, were founded in that. And particularly when you look at the point of when it comes to the wealth distribution, of saying is that the profit motive needs to be taken away from the businessman and it needs to be dispersed to those in the community. Okay, it's because here when you have people go out here and essentially work for free, man, that's not going to happen. Okay.
Here's what he wrote in another book called Chaos or Community. Where do we go from here? Chaos or Community. I am now convinced the solution of poverty is to abolish it directly by a now widely discussed measure, the guaranteed income. To ensure that the guaranteed income operates as a consistently progressive measure, it must be pegged to the medium income of society, not the lowest levels of income, and must automatically increase as the total social income grows. Now, come on, man. I mean, he was going full out, full bore socialist in the later years of his life.
Okay, now, when I look at guys like Bezos, and the funky dude over there, Tweety Bird, and Zuckerberg down there in Menlo Park, man. Them tricks have too much money. They have much power. You remember when Facebook first came out, always to connect people around the world. Then Facebook comes up there, starts gradually putting in its AI, you know, putting in, you know, certain philosophies, you know, that they want to push, okay? Then when you were speaking about that, you used to get... Yes, sir.
Well, initially, Facebook was just for students. Mark Zuckerberg was a student himself, I believe, at Harvard. And that's where he created it. Or it was either Harvard or Stanford, one of the Ivy League universities. And it was just something for college students. And then, because when I was in high school, they were promoting that shit to us. They're like, we were still with MySpace and other platforms at the time. And they were like, we coming up with this new thing called Facebook. We encourage you all to create a Facebook page. And this was back in 2004, 2005. And I was like, why would I want to do that?
No, you're right. You're right, Brother Parrish, because that's when I was in Denver, Colorado, because I had the MySpace page, I had the Facebook page, then the Tweety Bird that came up. And then what had happened was, to prove your point even further, Brother Parrish, is that you had individual accounts. Now, all of a sudden, they want for it to be, you know, all-inclusive, where they were interlocking. So then what had started happening is when they start the interlocking of it, now what they're trying to do is that they're trying to get you to use the same name on all these platforms. Now you got the TikTok, then you got the Instagram, then you got the you know, low scale other social media platforms. And then there was a sister that who we're familiar with, you know, that inboxed me and saying that since they want to shadow ban us on Facebook, what we need to do is make a mass exodus off of Facebook and go on to the black social media websites like melanatedpeople.net.
Black Enough, melanatedpeople.net, fan base.
Right.
That's a laundry list of other platforms we could go to. But the thing about it was the only reason why I kept my Facebook as long as I've had it, just because all the active community work that I do, and also the fact that I belong to so many organizations in the city and county member in the whole state of Colorado, I kept it for that reason. They've literally deactivated two of my accounts. Now, one of my accounts was deactivated, my personal account, that I set up in 2005, that was deactivated from going to Facebook jail too many times. And then I had another page hacked by a Cash App scam. So I've lost two pages since I've had a Facebook page.
Oh, yes, sir.
And
yeah,
going on. I thought I'm there 20 years now.
Yeah.
Well,
and the same thing with me. Okay,
well, you know, social media, man, I'm kind of scared. I kind of wary of social media. I don't even go on social media unless something about it is in the news, you know?
Right.
Because
I don't burn you.
I think it's too manipulative, man. I mean, social media is so manipulative. I can't trust it for anything.
Right. And now. Well, here's why I agree with you on that there, Sarge, to prove your point even further, to prove our point even further. Look how social media is coming to you with this rainbow agenda. You see what I'm saying? And social media will sit up there and tell you, well, if you say something, man, that ain't cool, is that we're going to go up here and bang you for 35 days and what have you, you see. But at the same token, though, if you get up there and say something, oh, well, you know, pro-black or doing for ourselves or comment on the police killings of our people, we got a bad.
What are your community standards? White supremacy? You let white supremacists, I've been in many hate groups on Facebook, and they literally let them say whatever, and they don't get flagged.
Exactly.
They're taken down. They don't get none of that. But we anything against the popular version of their truth, we get flags, get warnings, we get banned. It's not just Facebook, it's YouTube too. They just took down our most recent episode of Frontline Black News talking about copyright infringement, because I used a little clip from E! To report on Coolio's cause of death, and they took the whole video down, so I'm disputing it right now. But yeah, this is a concerted effort.
Oh, okay.
The new black media is making major waves, and the white-owned media doesn't know what to do because they don't control information anymore, at least the information that our people our people aren't tuning into that shit no more. They're tuning into the new black media. They're tuning into
Exactly.
They're tuning in to Frontline Black News, but we're just the signal boosters for the new black media. Shout out to Professor Black Truth, Tariq Nasheed, Jason Black, Vicky Dillard, African Diaspora Network, Phil Scott. We
Outlaw Radio.
White supremacy, the global system of racism, white supremacy, doesn't know how to take that, so they'll ban us, they'll block us. They'll censor us. They'll do all that because they don't want the truth, the authentic truth, to get out. So they'll keep repeating the same lies over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And like I was telling you earlier, Shabaka, that CRT, that's just code for black history. They don't want no kind of black history being CRT is a college course, so you have to be in college to even get it. You have to be not just a bachelor. To be in a math course or a JD course, you can take that.
That's exactly
anything that deems black history in this country is deemed CRT, and they have to put an end to it. And they're doing their best to try to silence the new black media, but it's not working.
Yeah. You see, and then the cold part about it, you see, that there's really a detriment. You see, you know, to history in general. You see what I'm saying? They're getting very, very selective with it. You see what I mean? And then there was another place in history where they did that as well, too. It was called Nazi Germany.
Yeah.
But well, I tell you, though, Brother Shabak, look here. When it comes to media censorship, it's across the board, left and right. I think it's more heavily against the right. And I'm not talking about people who are unavowed, unabashed racists like people in Stormfront or Der Sturmer or other like that, where they just flat out say they're unabashed white supremacists. I'm talking about people like Matt Walsh, who questions transgender agenda. I'm talking about people even like Tucker Carlson. Those are people who are routinely shadow banned on social media, I think far more than any other particular people who are like mainstream conservative. They are regularly shadow banned often. And it happens on the left, too, but I think it happens a lot more on the right.
Well, you remember when they took down Trump's page off of Twitter, right? And then around the same time, they took down Minister Louis Farrakhan's page as well.
Right.
Right. I think they actually see Louis Farrakhan as more of a rightist than a leftist, because most of his positions, especially with regard to the polymorphous perverse agenda, are basically very conservative. And that's one thing they won't forgive him. They might forgive him the other things, but they're not – I mean, the racial identity things, okay, they'll forgive him that pretty much, but not his hostility toward homosexuality and transgenderism. They're not going to forgive him that.
Okay, well, you see, but that's just it, though, Sergeant. Minister Farrakhan has stated pretty much, just to paraphrase him, over the years, is that life only procreates now from a union between man and woman. Okay. Now,
common sense, in other words.
Yes, sir. Okay. And as we have stated here on this platform, that they have their human rights and they have their civil rights, okay, but they don't have a right to come up to us saying that they are a woman when this dude has got a 5 o'clock shadow, man, you know what I'm saying, and an Adam's apple in his hands is the size of baseball mitts. It's because they cannot menstruate, they cannot ovulate, they cannot bear children, you see. So if anything, I feel sorry for these men. They've probably been through some type of trauma all their lives that got them confused like this. I mean, they was doing it on the plantation system. You see what I'm saying, sir?
It's a clear manifestation of mental illness, but for some reason, and of course it has to do with the fact, as you're pointing out, everybody's regularly pointing out the destruction of the family or the weakening of the norm, man-female bonding that has been traditional and
right.
desired and encouraged throughout human existence.
Right.
It has to do with saying you can't say they're mentally ill because that will undermine that agenda. It is a form of mental illness, but you're supposed to accept it as normal and normative, even desirable.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like nothing you've ever seen before until you realize the insidious nature of it and what it is designed to do.
Sarge, that's where it moves from being a free expression, as they always say, well, I have the right to express myself any way I please, to straight up fucking coercion, pedophilia, bestiality, necrophilia,
right.
and it opens up the Pandora's
right.
box, all kinds of sexual deviancy. It's to the
I
point
know.
Now.
Just tell me something. Since when have we ever considered it a good thing to encourage people in paranoia, schizophrenia, depression, or any other type of mental illness? We say, no, we want to cure people of it so this doesn't exist in people anymore. Transgenders who are clearly mentally ill, especially those who wish to mutilate perfectly healthy primary and secondary sexual organs in order to achieve a simulacrum of the other sex,
right.
these people are clearly mentally ill, but you're not supposed to say that they are. It's the one mental illness that
yeah.
dare not speak its name, unless you get canceled or you get a low ESG score. I mean, I'm telling you, this thing
is
diabolical.
Yeah, it is diabolical, and you know why that
and they
is?
Say, and they say it's genocide to try to end people who are mentally ill. They say if we could prevent it or treat it once it manifests itself, if people would voluntarily go in for treatment for this mental illness, and we could end transgenderism. Transgenders say that's genocide. They're an ethnic group that has a right to exist. This is what they actually say. This is how crazy it is. We're supposed to encourage mental illness. Think about it for a minute.
Well, it used to be a mental illness, if you recall, SARS. They took it out the DSM. Because it used to be called gender dysphoria, and they took that out of the DSM. So now they're saying, it's a lifestyle, it's self-expression, I feel like
it's
I'm a woman.
It's an alternative sexual expression.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, you know, when they did that, by the way, back in 1972, they did not offer any objective, peer-reviewed scientific data as to why they should change their conclusion in the DSM. They just had a vote, It was the most astounding thing the American Psychological Association has ever done. They had a vote. They didn't do any studies. They didn't do any peer review papers or have a debate about it. They held a vote. And therefore, it was removed from DSM of diagnostic disorders. It was really astounding. And it goes to show you it had nothing to do with science. It had nothing to do with medicine. It had everything to do with politics. And neo-cultural Marxism. That's what it had to do. Marxism was what it had to do with.
Yeah, Sarge, have you ever
and
read
the San Francisco political parties?
73?
Yeah, 73, I believe. Yeah, it was 72 or 73. I forget exactly which. And it was done
in
San Francisco, you're right.
Yeah, you read it, right?
Huh?
Have you read the manifesto?
Which one?
The Gay Manifesto.
Oh, yeah, I've read it several times, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so they're implementing all of that right now.
Yes, they certainly are.
And the cold part about it is, folks, is that they got an economical base you wouldn't believe. And guess where their economical base comes from? A lot of them are headquartered there in San Francisco. Social media, Silicon Game Valley. And this is why they put these restrictions on us, Brother Chaz. You know, this is why they shadow banned us here on Blog Talk. You see what I mean? Because they don't like our message, okay? And the cold part about it is we are not expressing no hatred for them, but they damn sure express hatred for us. You see what
All
I
right.
mean? And then the cold
part.
Yes,
4 minutes.
Oh, okay. All right, so let's go on with the closing comments. Okay, Sarge, what are your closing comments for today?
Well, nice discussion. I'm surprised it's short, but this is good. Let me make it short and sweet since the show is short and sweet.
Right.
I think that there are a lot of currents at work, and they're coming at us from all directions. This is like an all-in, multi-spearhead attack. We're like in a perimeter, and we're being hit from all points of the perimeter with everything. I mean, I think they realize now their position is threatened. I'm talking about the people who wish to fundamentally transform the United States and, in fact, Western civilization. And they are attacking on all fronts at every point. Everything is up for grabs now. And there is no premise, no traditional premise, no accepted value that is not up for question now. Everything is being, we better be aware of it and be prepared to confront it, or none of us are going to like the results of what they're inflicting on us, whether we're right or left, whether we are a nationalist or not. It doesn't matter. This is a fundamental transformation of everything these people wish to inflict on us, and we better not let them.
Yeah.
All right.
I agree.
This is probably the first show I've actually agreed with you on something. I definitely agree with you on that. Thank you for joining us. Thank y'all for tuning in to Grand Rising with Shabaka. Make sure you check out a new episode of Frontline Black News this Saturday at 10 p.m. Mountain Standard Time and 9 p.m. in the Pacific. And, we're in our third season, so check us out. Make sure you like and subscribe to Frontline Black News, The Revolutionary Agenda on YouTube. And on Facebook, make sure you like and subscribe to Shabaka Buck Experience Enhanced on Facebook and the Tweety Bird Twitter, Shabaka EXP. And make sure y'all continue to support the new black media. We are just the signal boosters of it. We are at war, Black Town. We've been warning you for years. This is our seventh season of Shabaka Buck Experience Enhanced. We were started on the 50th anniversary. The creation of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense in Oakland, California.
Yes.
So make sure y'all support all of our platforms. And, yes, we're at war, Black family. It's time we start waging back, as Star just alluded to. It's coming to us from all fronts and all angles. So keep your head on a swivel.
Yes,
stay black and stay dangerous, as Lady Che would always say.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. And then also, too, ladies and gentlemen, you know, we will be doing grand rising with Shabaka every Friday morning, 8 a.m. in the Pacific time zone, 11 a.m. there on Eastern time zone, like with Sarge is it's 11 o'clock where he was. So everybody's up and bright-eyed and bushy-tailed at that time. But out here in the West, everybody's still waking up, getting their coffee and stuff like that, me included. Okay, Brother Che is in the Mountain time zone, so we're on there at 9 a.m. Then in the Central time zone, we're on there at 10 a.m., you know, for the people in the Chicago, St. Louis area, and then on the East Coast there, all the way from the top of Maine down there to Florida, we're on at 11 a.m. And also, too, Governor DePantis of Florida, since it's 11 a.m., where you at, you welcome to give us a call too, Governor DePantis, okay? And the number to call in is 516-418-5996. And once again, the our co-producer and co-host, Jane Krumer, we're still waiting on you Biden supporters to give us a call. So you have two opportunities to call us on Tuesday nights and then out here every Friday morning. So this is Shabaka Sankore. We're going to go out here, you know, with a song by Tupac Zaki right here, as we always do. We all know who she is. We don't have to say her name. And we are going to be discussing her case in the future as I'm doing, getting more research done on it. Okay. That's because she's approaching 77, I believe, if memory serves me correct. Okay.
And don't forget the air date.
Okay, say that again.
Get the air date.
Oh, yes, sir. Okay, and the air date that we did on her, this was in 2017. It was in July. It's because we were commemorating her.
Of the show, Shabaka. Don't forget the air date of the show.
Oh, yes, sir. Okay, yes. So the air date of the show that we're coming up on Tuesday would be, let me see. Okay, you got a calendar in front of you, Brother Che?
Of the current show, Shabaka, April 14th.
Oh, the current?
2023.
Oh, yes, sir. Yeah, I stand corrected. Okay, the air date of this episode, ladies and gentlemen, was April 14th, 2023. Okay, so we're going to be doing Grand Rising with Shabaka every Friday. Okay. All right. Then we're going out with Tupac's auntie. We all know who she is.
People from all places, all in the planet, and that's an abstract love.